fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Yeah. Hey, here we go. Oh. Is that enough? All right.
Something's way too loud in here, Jeff.
Something's
going off in here.
Anyway, it's the American Adversaries.
There we go.
It's a Sunday night 3-hour tour. And we're using an entirely different channel. You see what I did there? Because, you know, yachts and cruises and channels. And we've slid down the dial, broadcasting on 1520 WBZW, Apopka's hometown station. We are not currently on the air on 660 AM, The Answer. That's because the Rays have forgotten tomorrow's their day off, not today, and they're not coming up very big at all against the L.A. Angels. Anyway, I'm Nostra Dennis. Lair Adams is coming, but he's not here yet. But I am here. Carl Jackson is here. Lucas Paris is here, and he's got that webcast up and running on Ustream.tv. Search American Adversaries. You'll find it. Johnny Guns is in the house. We have Jeff Sennett over on the other side of the glass. And, of course, the man that it just wouldn't be an American Adversaries without him, Christopher Hart.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Barack Obama.
Well, no. We don't need to have him here.
All right. Welcome to the show, folks. We really thank you for being with us, especially if you're listening up the dial on 1520 WBZW. And, of course, we always welcome you folks who are listening to us on the web, where you don't have to worry about the celestial-type broadcast. And that's right. We are on Ustream.tv tonight, or you can go to our Facebook page, and you'll find us streaming there. Not only can you see us, but you can hear us at that location as well and see the shenanigans that we get up to, you know, especially during the breaks in here.
Do you have the shenanigan rundown so we know what we're doing in which break?
Yeah, that's right. We should, you know, between
there,
the breaks,
hold that up, would you?
Yeah, we should show closely our outline.
Here's
here,
what's next, in case you want to know.
We craft before every show.
And then we change as we go every night anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
You know, we can never cram everything in, but at least on Sunday night, we have a full 3-hour tour to really get involved in things. That 1-hour show, I mean, you just get warmed up and it's time to go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who would do just a 1-hour show on the radio? Hey, Carl Jackson, how you doing?
Hey!
What a great 1-hour show you had yesterday.
What about us during the drive time?
You guys too.
Every day of the week, it's a joy and a frustration at the same time. I don't want to liken it to what I've in my mind, but never mind. Let's just go on with the
more
show.
More time would be a wonderful thing. More advertisers would be a wonderful thing, too.
We've got some ideas. We've got some ideas about the show, and we're going to tweak the drive time show a little bit because we are getting some more advertisers. But we have some other ideas as well, which will play in conjunction with our new website, which will be going up by June 1st.
And that's called AmericanAdversariesRadio.com.
It will be, but it'll be entirely different. It'll be entirely new, but you'll have the same. You'll be able to get the same things you get now, which, beyond the archive, to be quite honest with you, and our sponsor links, isn't much. And that's my fault, and that is changing. And we'll be much more active with our website, and it'll be more user-friendly. And we'll be making the announcement when that happens. We're going to tweak the drive time show just a little bit too, because we're getting some new sponsors, and I don't want it to cut too much into the content time. I look at that not only from my perspective, but from the listener's perspective too.
Sure, you don't want to get loaded up with commercials if you're right in the middle of a conversation.
Exactly. You know, we have to do what we have to do, but at some point, you know, I have to be aware of people out there, you know, and the reason they listen to the American Adversaries is, well, to hear the American adversaries.
Yeah.
So we try to squeeze every second out of every hour that we can.
Although I love Aubrey Kahn's accent. I could listen to him for hours.
Oh, yeah. And he's part of the content.
See? I know.
Why we got to get more seconds, as many more seconds as we can. But it appears as though most of the show, if not all of the show tonight, will be only on 1520 WBZW, Ustream.tv, and, of course, AM660, TheAnswer.com. Or in case you've loaded, the free AM660 The Answer app into your device, or have gone to iTunes and downloaded, is it iTunes? Yeah, iTunes, and downloaded the proper app. Then you can be listening to us anytime on your smart device.
But the worst is over for preemptions. I mean, unless the Rays start winning and then start playing the Sunday night ESPN game more often.
Highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. Yes, there will only be two more drive time shows that will be interrupted, and maybe one more Sunday show to this extent. But while we're talking about sports, let me just give you a little rundown of the show, because later on we're going to have Sunny, our California Glow Girl, join us, and we'll talk a little bit more about what they can't let go of in Los Angeles, which is the, of course, Donald Sterling story. And Carl did a great job this past week in his blogging, and he appeared on several national radio shows. And if you were listening to the American Adversaries, you got a preview of what his argument was, and we'll talk to him about how it went over with those other hosts. Also tonight on our show, we have the regular things, of course. Carl's Corner, he's back, and Nostradamus is back. We didn't get his pass last week, so those two guys will be doing what they regularly do. WTF News with Johnny Guns, and of course Larry's Closing Comments. We have some bottles of Roxy Pacifics to give away, a Who Said That contest, and tonight we're going to be talking about, when we get into it, what I'm calling the value of payback. Payback is a you-know-what. Well, it has a good use, especially in politics.
Didn't it used to be payback as a Secretary of State?
All right, and then later on, we're going to talk a little bit about the VA scandal. We're also going to talk about Barack, Hillary, the NFL, and traumatic brain injury resulting from a terrible concussion. Mm-hmm. So we are all set up, and we'll try to get to everything tonight, as well as your phone calls at 407-774-8255. And please do keep that phone handy for those free bottles of Roxy Pacifics and our Who Said That contest and your comments. Before we really get going, though, the sports story I wanted to talk about real quickly was the Orlando Predators.
Yeah,
what an exciting win last night.
Sir, huh? And guess who's a quarterback now?
A former Jacksonville Shark.
And a former Jones High quarterback.
Yep,
a fellow by the name of Bernard Morris.
Yep, sweet.
And he threw 7 touchdown passes. Converted 2-point conversions with passes. Mm-hmm. And had him at a tie. And Jacksonville had the ball at the end, and they couldn't move it down the field, so they tried a long field goal. And lo and behold, a la Alabama last fall.
Auburn last fall.
Yeah, the Auburn over Alabama. Yep. The Predators guy grabbed the ball and ran it the length of the field for the score.
It was only half the length of the field that the Auburn kid ran.
Ran the length of the field.
Very exciting.
Yeah, and it was an exciting win, and especially considering, the news story that broke last week that the Predators are going through an ownership change. Mm-hmm. It didn't phase the team, evidently, and I attribute that to the Coach Keefe, and, of course, to the players who are focused, but Coach Keefe is keeping these guys focused, and if you're ever around him, you can understand why.
And Coach
Ken,
too.
He's an intense guy.
Coach Ken is such a gets his players to focus so well on the task at hand. He's a psychologist, basically. He doesn't have the degree, but he's a sports psychology.
His degree is in psychology, especially in sports and entertainment psychology.
So he is perfect for this situation.
Yeah, and he works with other sports figures other than the Predators.
Johnny and I work in radio, and in radio, about every 3 years, new people come in and buy your radio station. And you just learn to say, I still have to do the work I have to do. Is the check still coming in? Will it clear when I bring it to the bank? Okay, no problem. Things you can't control, you can't worry about.
That's right. But there are some things that you can control. And if enough of you get out and vote, perhaps you can control what's happening in Seminole County with the sales tax. The early voting is over. You can still turn in your absentee ballot. I wouldn't suggest mailing it. if you want it to get counted. But you can turn it in Monday or Tuesday at the Supervisor of Elections office in Sanford there on Airport Boulevard. And, of course, Tuesday is actual the election day. So by Tuesday night, probably I would say at least by 8 or 9 o'clock, we'll know. Because there won't be a tremendous number of votes. And I'm pretty sure that the absentee ballots that they have haven't been a tremendous number of those. We know a lot went out, but that's now routine. Not many of them have come back, according to David Levitt, about the middle of last week.
I'll be casting mine on Election Day. My voting place is right up the block on my way to my day job. So
and it's very convenient. Yeah, if you haven't voted and you live in Seminole County, you'll have, I believe, from 7 to 7 Tuesday. And please get out and vote. And I saw Grant Malloy. He was on Channel 9 today. They did a little, you know, the Channel 9 News does this thing at 12:30 on most Sundays where it's local politics. And they had, of course, they had four segments. Three segments were pro-tax. One segment was anti-tax, which I guess they gave him at least one, right? And Grant made a good presentation. But, you know, it was the old dog and pony show where they trot out these politicians that basically say, pass this or else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they trot out the people who are going to get and spend the money, and they put the forlorn look on their face. And they had a guy from the Seminole County School Board named Kelly, Bob Kelly, I think. There was a Bill Kelly. And he was there, if we don't get this money, there'll be so many projects that we just can't do. Now, mind you, that these are projects mere months ago that they said they didn't need to do, that they didn't need money for, right? Because they had the millage tax increase. And as a matter of fact, there was a story last year, you know, we went through the fight to raise the millage tax as much as 1% or 1 mil.
1 mil, right.
1 mil.
1 per 1,000 of assessed property.
Exactly. And that's $1 per 1,000. All right. So 1 mil. And lo and behold, a year after y'all approved the tax in Seminole County, because I live in Orange, the Seminole County School Board said, well, we're not going to have to raise it the full mil because we don't need that much money. And now all of a sudden they need this huge amount of money, and this guy comes on TV today and puts on a sad, forlorn look on his face. Oh, the children will suffer so much if we don't get this huge tax increase. I'm just so sick of these people. And it is a dog and pony show. And it's exactly why we say politics is like professional wrestling. You'll get more reality from watching the WWE Raw on Monday night than you're going to get from any of these jokers.
What did Grant say? This will have been, if this passes, our third tax increase in Seminole in 19 months.
And then they bring out the bully. Okay? And these people with the Citizens for the Tax, it's basically what they're trying to do. Okay? They're trying to bully John Levitt, for one, by calling the FEC, the state of Florida FEC, out on him. Yeah, two more minutes here, Jeff. And filing what amounts to a criminal complaint against the man. And based on nothing substantive. But he's going to have to now face some sort of investigation. Well, they trot out this lawyer on TV today who says anybody who's against this has not made an intelligent argument yet. Okay, so here's a little more of the intimidation, right? In other words, you're stupid if you don't want this tax. All right, well, I'm here to tell you're stupid if you do. Okay, because we haven't gotten a full accounting yet of what they have already spent money on and all this $200 million that they say they've already got plans. You've already got plans for almost a quarter of a billion dollars. One county spending that and then saying they need another $500 million more? We just say, slow down. And one of our listeners I was talking to the other day off air, and I think she put it quite well. We may not, especially at this time, be able to do much about what's going on at the national level, but we can here at the local level, and maybe that will send a signal.
Sure.
What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is one thing I got to tell you, honestly, I've been weak on, but the truth of the matter is the way that you protect the United States is by protecting every local municipality that's closest to you. That's sure. The way the system was designed to work. Federal government is supposed to have little to nothing to do with your life. And unfortunately, I myself am guilty of it. We've gotten to a point where we're so busy with trying to fight against the tyrannical federal government, it seems like today, that we forget about all the local municipalities that we need to be involved with.
And this is where we can make a difference. It doesn't take a lot of people at this level to make a difference. It just takes people who are knowledgeable and passionate enough to get out and do it, which is to vote. And then it can send a signal all the way up. Believe me, there are bigger eyes than just right here in Central Florida watching this tax vote. Yep. This Tuesday, please, for God's sakes, get out and vote. And if I were you, and if it comes to me in Orange County, I say no. I say hell no. You've had enough. I want to see what you're doing with what you've already got before I give you more.
It's the American Adversaries. The three-hour tour has pushed off. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And we're back. That's right, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries on our three-hour tour. I want to change the subject now, but in a way, I'm going to carry this theme further. But as I said, Tuesday is a tax election day, so please, if you're a Seminole County resident, get out and vote. Now, I saw this article in this weekend's Wall Street Journal. It's on the op-ed page, and it was at the bottom of the page. It's called Harry Kills Again. And the gist of the article is about Dirty Harry Reid. Actually, they give him a nickname, too. They call him Crazy Harry Reid. But we've tagged him with Dirty Harry Reid, which I think is more appropriate if you ever watch the movie Dirty Harry.
Dirty,
right?
Dingy,
yeah, but,
crazy, they
yeah,
all fit.
I don't want to take somebody else's, but yeah. Dirty Harry Reid basically is holding up some legislation. This is tax breaks that businesses get, and this would include a repeal of the Obamacare tax on medical devices. You remember that tax?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's a big one because it's holding up innovation and companies, you know, developing new devices. And this goes everything from tongue depressors to the things they stick in you and do surgery
with. You're not going to buy a $100,000 new machine if there's a 2 or 3% tax tacked on.
And you're
addition.
Not going to likely design a new one when the taxes are too onerous. All right. Well, these are other tax breaks that normally are extended on a year-to-year basis. And this goes to the heart of how Washington does business and how they exact money out of big business and how you get this big incestuous relationship. These are tax breaks that they could easily pass for, say, in perpetuity or until they decide to change them, but then they can't hold it over business people's heads every year like they do, which is in essence what Harry Reid is doing. I'll tell you what he's doing, even though this is not what's in this article, and I'll get to why I brought this article up. What Harry Reid is doing is he's intimidating business people and telling them, if you turn the Senate over to Republicans, you're going to be sorry. All right? And what he's doing this while he still has control of the Senate. And believe me, he can be a very – you think he's been a nasty pest as the majority leader? As the minority leader, he would be even a bigger nasty pest. All right, you want to talk about what do they call it, obstructionist?
Yeah, sure.
You ain't seen nothing until you've seen a Democrat being obstructionist.
He can do that.
And he will be very good at it. That's basically what he's doing here, and he's playing politics with these business people and these tax cuts, and it's also a reason why they do this every year, as I said, to elicit fear and therefore donations and support from business peoples all over the country. But what really caught my eye was the last two paragraphs of the article, which really have nothing to do with the gist of the article, which is what I just gave you. Let me just read you those last two paragraphs, and I'll tell you where I'm going. At a minimum, Republicans ought to tell the Chamber of Commerce and other business lobbies that if they want the tax bill passed this year, they'd better tell Mr. Reid to allow the Senate to act like a normal legislature. If he refuses, then the tax credit extensions won't pass. In other words, they're saying the Republicans should basically issue a threat of their own. And then this is the paragraph that really grabbed me. One reality in politics is that bad behavior tends to continue until the abusers get a taste of their own abuse, what my dad used to call a taste of your own medicine. Democrats invented the special prosecutor to go after Republican presidents, but dumped it only after it was used against Bill Clinton. Republicans should refuse to pass anything that Harry Reid wants until he restores the minority's traditional rights to open debate and public recorded votes on amendments. And the gist of the article is that Reid's not allowing amendments and it's tying up the Senate. But I want to go back to the first two paragraphs, the first two sentences in this last paragraph. One reality in politics is that bad behavior tends to continue until the abusers get a taste of their own abuse. Democrats invented the special prosecutor to go after Republican presidents, but dumped it only after it was used against Bill Clinton. Republicans should, if they take control of the Senate, they should reinstate a special prosecutor and sic him on Barack Obama.
Sounds to me like Harry Reid is preparing to become Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid.
You're right. But I want to stay on track of my point here. Because my little highlight, my outline says the value of payback. All right? Who has been misbehaving the most in politics over the last, say, 5 years? Is it Harry Reid?
I would say Congress.
I would say Barack Obama.
Yeah, I would agree.
Who's the one who's issuing all the executive orders? Who's the one bypassing Congress? Who's the one doing all of this stuff? Who's the one who was in charge the night of Benghazi?
Yeah.
All of these things ultimately go back to the administration, do they not?
Yeah, absolutely.
And who has lousy relations with Congress, including the Democrats?
Yeah,
the President of the United States.
I guess my only argument would be that you're absolutely right in that, and that was the obvious answer. My only problem with the Congress is that they hold a third of the branch of government,
and
they can tell
point,
it.
And you're absolutely right. The Republicans have not been playing their role well enough for that third branch to be effective. Okay? They have not been good enough adversaries. Here's their chance. Should they retake the Senate next year, they could push for a special prosecutor and put the pressure on the president. He should pay a political price for his political shenanigans. He should be made to pay, and the Democrats, for the way they jammed Obamacare down our throats. Now, do the Republicans have the stomach for it? I don't know. But let me read this one sentence again before we go to the break. One reality in politics is that bad behavior tends to continue until the abusers get a taste of their own abuse or their own medicine.
Sure.
They need to be kicked in the butt and real hard and on purpose by Republicans. And when the media comes to Republicans going, oh, is it just partisanship? They should laugh and say, you're damn right it is. And how do you like getting a taste of your own damn medicine? And that's the American adversaries.
Coming back after the news to kick you in the butt a little more. Coming up next, Nostradamus predicts the past and Carl's Corner. So stick around, guys.
More political mayhem is on the way. You're listening to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries, where we tell you to turn the other cheek so we can kick you in it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get in that time machine, get in that DeLorean, drive 88, and go back in the past, because it's time for Nostradamus.
Nostradamus predicts the past.
Yes, I do.
Marty, it's crazy here. We're back in the past. It's last week.
What is a gigawatt?
I don't know. Wait, was that racist?
No.
Watch I'm sorry.
The movie.
Anyway, these are the stories that fell through the cracks all week that we couldn't get to because we had so many great guests talking about so many great topics and only 5 drive time hours to talk about them. How about this one? A Fox News poll finds that when it comes to Washington controversies, most American voters think Benghazi, the IRS, and the government's electronic surveillance program are all serious matters. And that leads to this. Less than 4 in 10 voters trust the federal government. Only 37% of voters answered yes when asked, would you generally trust the federal government?
Now, that's not a huge change from historical things, but it is very low. And that's before the VA scandal.
Sure. Well, every little thing is gonna tick away at those numbers.
We're going to be talking about the VA scandal because I think that the administration is more worried about that than any of the others.
Here's the telling part. For independents, the people who generally tend to decide elections, their trust in the government right after 9/11 was up at 53%. A year into Barack Obama's first term, it was down to 35%. Hmm. It's down to 31% now. Among Republicans, the mistrust of government has gone down 44 points in the last decade. And among Democrats, it's only gone down 4. But still, it's gone down. People trust the government less now than they ever did.
Well, as I said, Americans generally tend not to trust government anyway, but that's not good news for the Democrats this fall.
Speaking of governments that are doing wacky things, when you think of Switzerland, what do you think of? You think expensive Swiss watches,
cheese,
expensive Swiss chocolate.
Cocoa.
I love cheese.
That's Swiss
cheese.
Miss. Yeah. Okay, expensive
pretty good
Swiss
economy.
Cheese.
Yeah.
Expensive Swiss
and
Army knives.
And everyone has an automatic weapon.
That's right. It's
IKEA.
And it's the center of everybody has a bank account in Switzerland. Everybody
the lady that hates Oprah?
Yeah, that's right. Well, she's in Switzerland.
At least
she's in Geneva.
What Oprah claimed, yeah.
So
yeah.
Where else would
they're
you go?
Racist.
Where else in the world would you go?
And the Swiss girl maybe, too. I don't know.
Where would you go to try to pass a minimum wage law? Did you know Switzerland currently has no minimum wage law at all?
Right.
You know where they want it to go from zero to? $25 an hour.
Sure, why not?
Minimum wage for every job. They had a nationwide referendum today. 22 Swiss francs actually rounds up to $24.70 an hour. They decided no, because that would collapse our economy. So the voters of Switzerland, they made a good choice
they're,
there.
They're not so dumb after all.
No, they're really not.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, we were talking a little bit during the break, and you can see us talking during the break on iStream TV, and we're doubling by the minute, our viewers.
of course, they're like amoeba.
We started out with not very many, but thank you folks for watching who are. And I think we've been looking at this backwards. You know, I read something about Cuba this week, and I think maybe we should do it the way the Cubans do.
Well, what do they
instead
got?
Of having a minimum wage... Mm-hmm. We should have a maximum wage.
Ooh.
You see, then you wouldn't have to worry about all this inequality. You wouldn't have to worry about so much women getting paid less than men, like the New York Times business, you know. It's how embarrassing for them. I just love it. But we could have a maximum wage, which in Cuba is $20 an hour.
Okay. That
so
makes sense.
Nobody can earn more than $20 an hour except the people named Castro.
So when it's time for your raise, you don't get one.
Well, you have to understand most people in Cuba are probably making $4 or $5 an hour.
Okay, so that would actually be that would be something good to shoot
but
for.
But the lesson to learn down there is because there isn't the possibility for anything more than $20 an hour. They're still living in 80 years ago.
They're driving cars from the 1960s.
They will never progress forward because they've put a lid on things. Everyone will suffer the same. That's what the socialists have in mind.
Well, they want to spread it around.
Misery. They call basically it a minimum wage, but what they're in fact trying to do is have a maximum wage. Mm. That's what they would really want. Anyway.
I was just going to piggyback on Dennis's story. 75% of voters voted down raising the minimum wage to $25. And the average household income in Switzerland, about $7,000 a month already.
See, so to them, that's not really a big issue to the folks who voted.
Well, you have to understand, though, that's right in the heart of socialism, right in the heart of socialist countries. Yep. They're a socialist country, so... Hey, maybe there's hope for the world after all.
How about this one? This is from Bloomberg.com, of all places, by a columnist named Yosef Jaffe. We've been hearing for years and years that the U.S. economy is going to be overtaken by the Chinese. In fact, a Goldman Sachs report called Dreaming with BRICS, B-R-I-C-S, predicted that China's GDP would overtake ours sometime in the 2020s. Well... last time this columnist looked, that was yesterday, the U.S. economy in 2013 was 3 times larger than that of China. Still. Now, we do have a debt problem, but our economy is still much, much bigger than China's is. And he went back through history. In fact, you could say he predicted the past and went through 5 separate times when the end of American economy has been predicted. Decline 1.0 in the 50s after the Soviets launched Sputnik. Oh, my God, they're growing, they're arming, the missile gap, what are we going to do? Decline 2.0 during the Vietnam War. Far and away, number one, economically, even during the mess of the Vietnam War. In fact, we got kind of an ally in Hanoi right now in the aftermath of the Vietnam War. Decline 3.0. How can you have declines without Jimmy Carter? 1979, the crisis of confidence, the malaise. Well, that depression ended 5 years later with mourning again in America and Ronald Reagan. Decline 4.0. You remember who was going to wreck our economy back in the late 80s, early 90s? Japan. They were going to be Godzilla. They were going to stomp all over us.
They were going to buy everything, yeah.
Well, guess what? They're in worse shape than we are right now. And now it's Decline 5.0, starring China as the masters of the universe. The World Bank should have looked at history, says Mr. Yaffe. As early as 1984, China's growth peaked at 15%. Now, even in this booming time, their rate of growth is down to one-half that. The sluggish world economy plays a part, but the underlying reasons are structural. So he is kind of confident that we're not about to be overtaken, at least not in GDP, by China.
Listen, the lesson to be learned from that is that it can be applied to politics and can be applied to the climate. Everything in the universe works cyclically. Okay? What's up today, it eventually is going to be down and then tomorrow. What's down today is eventually going to be up tomorrow. What's hot today will be cold. What's wet will be dry. It is the nature of the universe. And so anytime somebody comes along and says something like, if the trends continue, you know you're talking to somebody who has a theory that's worth maybe toilet paper. Because trends never continue. They always break. That's why we have trends, because they change and you get a new one. All right.
That is a great segue, because our last story here speaks about what's hot and what's not.
And I don't know what he's going to talk
about. Oh, I see it right
it's
here.
It's just everything's working together.
Okay. Yep. Let's go with it.
Turns out that beer goggles do exist.
A beer study, goggles?
Yes, you've heard of beer goggles, I hope.
No.
Well, let me inform you. It turns out that researchers, the esteemed researchers from Bristol, Britain, have conducted lab experiments to gauge whether alcohol changes people's perceptions of what is attractive. Volunteers were asked to look at photos of men, women, and landscapes. Landscapes, Carl, landscapes. Both before and after drinking. And in every category, alcohol affected their perceptions. The study found that when you drink alcohol, everything looks nicer. Men think the men are more handsome. Men think the women are hotter. Men think the landscapes are wonderful. Now, if only there was a landscaper that could, like, you know, give you a jello shot before he starts working on your lawn. That might work. Well, now, this is just in the lab, and in the lab, you know, it's just a test basis. The Bristol team is extending their research. It is conducting tests over four nights at three pubs in Bristol, the Green Man, the Portcullis, and the Victoria. So if you are in Bristol in the UK anytime in the next few weeks, just look around. You might be part of a study.
Does it say how much alcohol women need to find me attractive?
I think they measure it by the liter.
I think I'm off the scale.
Tea martinis is what it says. Tea martinis.
All right. When we come back, we'll have Carl's Corner. Later on, I got a story about animal rights groups having to cough up some money because of some false allegations. But you folks who are watching on iStream TV, you'll see I'm wearing my FDNY hat this past week. The Memorial Museum, the 9/11 Museum, opened in New York. And, of course, if you ever get a chance to get up there, that would be one place you definitely want to see in New York. And the Muslims aren't happy because of the videotape. I wonder if they're going to have a riot and they're going to, do.
Listen to us on 1520 anyway. WBZW or on WORL660.com. Watch us on Ustream.tv. It's the Sunday night show of the American Adversaries. The three-hour tour, can you imagine? Three of our 12 segments are already in the can. Coming up next, one of my favorites, Carl's Corner.
Folks, this is pro wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I listen to the American Adversaries, tough guy.
And we're back. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. And it's time for Carl's Corner. Carl, take her away.
All right, guys. We're going to be talking about something very important. So I'm going to encourage all of you guys to go ahead now, lock your windows, close your shades. Make sure your front door is shut.
Wait a minute.
Make sure your garage door is shut. Make sure Donald Sterling's girlfriend is not inside of your home.
Good. There's no microphones open around here, are there?
Okay.
No microphones
none?
In the studio.
Okay. All right. Is everyone clear? Okay. Just double check. Make sure she's not anywhere in the house. Okay? You're doing that? All right. Good. Okay. Good. Then let's talk. We're going to talk about heterophobia.
Oh,
heterophobia. Fear of a straight planet. So you may want to get your gay friends to listen to this.
I don't think there's any fear of that anytime soon. But go on.
I'm actually going to work this thing backwards. I'm going to bottom line it, and then I'm going to go throughout an article that I'm piecing together. I'm not quite finished yet. But I want to run it by you guys first here. So here's the deal. Gays don't fear traditionalists. They fear that traditionalists are right. So before, we'll get into breaking that down. But if I were to ask you, 97% of American households how they felt about Michael Sam's public display of affection at the NFL draft, the Benham brothers being kicked off of HGTV because of their values, you know, obviously Michael Sam was applauded because of his, California working on legislation that will allow gay couples, gay lesbian couples to be called fathers on birth certificates and gay men to be called mothers on birth certificate, or Don Jones of the censorship that the Miami Dolphins, just smacked onto Don Jones, the absolute censorship of his values, of his rights. What do you think 97% of Americans would say?
Probably, don't really care much.
Yeah.
Apathetic. Okay. All right. You know what? I hadn't even considered that. So maybe they would be apathetic. I said that they will probably be disturbed if you were to sit them down one-on-one and say, how do you feel about this? Do you think this is fair? So maybe it's in how you would pose the question. But apathy is something that I hadn't considered. But I would think that most Americans would be disturbed or frustrated it shouldn't have happened. They shouldn't have gotten punished for their beliefs. Or perhaps it would be apathy. But nevertheless, we look at Michael Sam and he was absolutely applauded. See, my goal isn't to knock Michael Sam, but my goal is to show you that there's a fear of heterosexuality in America, a growing fear of heterosexuality. The fact of the matter is, gays right now, they want not equal rights. And what they want is censorship of any opposition. They're not into tolerance or diversity, as they claim, but rather censorship. And also, we go back to my point that I think they fear the traditionalists because if the traditionalist is right, then it means their lives, as they've defined them, are meaningless. And this is a scary thought. And this should be a scary thought. So let's go back to what happened a couple of years ago. As you guys recall, it was a big deal. Chick-fil-A was bullied by the gay activists. And I think it was the first time people started coming out. I know we did here. I know I did an article. And I said, listen, gays are bullies, too.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it was getting so bad that the word gay and bully was becoming synonymous at the time. Now, we look at today, and they have grown by leaps and bounds. I want to read you guys some of what I've read. Because we can go back just 3 years ago. Just think back 3 years ago. Remember when equal rights were cool for everybody? Now they're no longer cool for everybody. We see the censorship growing by leaps and bounds, and it's just no longer cool to be equal. Gays now want to have extra rights. So I'm going to read you just a little bit of what I've written. By using the 14th Amendment out of context, they've managed, gays, to convince and intimidate many of us into believing that civil rights apply to same-sex partnerships. They do not. Civil rights are inalienable rights given to us by God. I don't deserve less or more rights under the Constitution because I'm black, which is an actual civil right. Nor do gays deserve extra protection under the Constitution because they sleep with the same sex. This is a behavior. Minorities should be offended because they can't hide their skin color behind closed doors. But gays, just like heterosexuals, can change their behavior. Who you have sex with is what you do. It has little to do with who you are as a person. Notice I didn't say nothing, but it has little to do with who you are as a person. I can't demand benefits for a same-sex friend as a heterosexual. Why should they get the extra right as a homosexual? And I feel as though this is how we have to start framing it. And I feel like if we're going to love our gay friends correctly, we can't be afraid to be true with them and have honest conversations with them. Because here's the bottom line, folks. When you allow someone to define themselves by what they do, I don't want to go as far as to say that you're not a good friend, but you're definitely not being helpful. Because what they do is not who they are. If you were to sit anyone down and interview them, and you ask them to tell you everything about them, who they are, what they love, all this kind of stuff, I guarantee you, the thought wouldn't even cross their mind to mention sex. So why is it that the gay activists, and when I say gay, I'm not trying to generalize with all gays, but I'm talking about the militant bullies that exist within the gay community. Why is it that this is all they can focus on? Could it be that somewhere earlier in their lives they were perhaps hurt? This is all they know to focus on because they want their lives to be of some worth and value and meaning, and thus far they've been disappointed in their lives so far and how they've been able to affect the community. What's the easiest way to affect the community? It's to join a socialist type community, a mob rule. Everybody wants their life to mean something. But here's something that I've often said. One, I can't stand the Black Panthers. Now, I'm not comparing gays to Black Panthers, but I want to say this. I can't stand the Black Panthers, and I feel sorry for Black Panthers because without whites, their lives would be meaningless. The same thing with the KKK. We need to pray for these people. Without blacks, without other minorities that they hate, their lives would be meaningless. Now we have a people group called the homosexual people group going down a road where what they have to do in order to feel justified and worthy and of value is project hate towards heterosexuals. You see, it's no longer enough. Right?
Yeah.
It's no longer enough to have equal rights. They want extra rights. And you better not disagree with them. As a matter of fact, you better accept what they believe, and you better help them advance it, or you're evil. And this is just wrong.
And if that fight doesn't exist anymore, then these militants become unnecessary.
Wow. Absolutely right.
Well, you have to understand, I think you've hit on two things very important here. One is that most gays are, for lack of a better word, I wrote down in my notes here, they're not comfortable in their own skin.
Okay.
All right. They are. They're looking for legitimacy.
Sure.
Hence the exhibitionism. All right. Okay. Which is really what a lot of their behavior is about. They could be homosexuals. Conservatives don't give a damn if you're a homosexual or not, right?
They're a conservative homosexual.
Yeah, yeah. We don't care. Go and be it. But you don't have to exhibit it. And that's what we're mostly talking about here. And that exhibitionism is, I believe, a result of their lack of security, their lack of conviction in their own way of life. And then... homosexuality now has become a political club.
Yes.
To beat about the head of anybody who doesn't go along with gay marriage or whatever it is. You know, we don't have to go along. We should not be made to go along. We tolerate you. We allowed... I don't believe there was anybody who was opposed to gay marriage that was also opposed to letting gay people enter into civil unions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, two friends can enter into a civil union to say to a joint ownership of a house or something like that. Powers of attorney.
Yeah.
These things can already be done, and that could have been more customized. But, oh, no, they have to be, quote, unquote, married.
You've got to call it the same thing.
Because it has to be legitimized, and it is much for their own minds as everybody
else's. Absolutely.
If they were comfortable in their own skin and felt good about who they are, they wouldn't give a damn or a hoot in hell of what anybody else thought.
That's a great point.
And there are already laws to protect them. In terms of discrimination and hate crimes and all of that. But what Carl is talking about goes more to the psychology of it. And that is what the liberals don't want to talk about, right?
Absolutely.
Because it opens up this can of worms. And as I say, a political club. I remember when I took, in graduate school, I took this class, Women in Politics. And there are lesbians who profess that women should become lesbians for political reasons.
Huh.
It is literally so. And then, of course, you have the politicians who are more than happy to take that club and use it. And look what's being used all the time by the liberals. It is the bullying tactics. It is the clubs. It is forcing people to accommodate their beliefs while they condemn the rest of us. All right. We got to go to the break, and it's a hard. Okay. All right. No, Jeff, that was at the end of the show. If you're setting up that song, that's at the end of the show. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, give me a countdown then. Okay. All right. So, yeah, we have to go to the break. So, anyway, please continue listening to the American Adversaries. We'll be right back after this short break.
Your hometown station, 1520 WPZW, Apopka, Altamont Springs, a service of Salem Communications, part of the War.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you are listening to the Bad Boys on a beautiful Sunday evening here in Central Florida. For you folks out there listening on the web around the country in California, boy, are we enjoying the weather here today, and we had a beautiful weekend. And you know, I was outside yesterday cutting the grass, and not only was it just pleasant in the temperature and the weather conditions, but it
nice
just
and cool.
Everything just seems so vivid. The colors.
Yeah.
Did you notice that, Carl?
Yeah.
I mean, the green, the blue sky, everything was just so vivid. It was really a joy this weekend. So hopefully, folks, you got a chance to enjoy it. And hopefully you'll enjoy the rest of our show tonight. We still have 2 hours of our three-hour tour to go. I am Christopher Hart. That was Carl Jackson you heard saying, yeah, yeah. And we also have Nostra Dennis in the studio.
Yeah, yeah.
Johnny Guns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got Lucas Paris. Who's got us on Ustream TV with his Pink Floyd shirt on tonight.
I don't stream, Ustream.
Ustream.tv. And thank you, folks, for watching. We have Jeff Sinis, who's on the bridge tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Guiding us through the ether. And if you're listening via the ether, that means you're listening to us on 1520 WBZW. And should we go back up on 660, AM 660, the answer tonight, we'll let you know. Probably won't be in this hour if it does happen at all. But we'll keep you up to date. The Rays are playing a late afternoon game, our time.
If you want to call it that. They're down 6-2. They're in the seventh inning. So you don't need to go over there.
Then we may very well get up on the stick tonight, because it's an away game, isn't it?
Yeah, they are in L.A.
Yeah, so they're playing the Angels, and the Angels are taking care of business.
They're
so,
near Sunny.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah.
Maybe Sunny is
she might be at the game.
Putting the Sunny burn on the Rays. All right. Before we move on, and tonight's theme is kind of, bullying should have its price. Okay, Carl focused on what I believe he appropriately called fear of a straight planet.
Heterophobia.
Heterophobia, which is sweeping the land.
The land?
if you're in the land.
And by the way, when we go back on 660, the answer, you'll be able to hear us clearly in the land.
Goodness.
You mentioned fad or something about things changing in politics. You know, as I said, everything is cyclical. And in that sense, political movements oftentimes are like fads. You know, they come and they're real strong, they're real popular, everybody wants to be in on it, and then all of a sudden everybody kind of loses the taste for it.
You mean like the Tea Party?
No pun
That's
intended.
Dead, right?
No pun intended.
The Tea Party's not around anymore, is it?
Well, the Tea Party is the result of a mood, and I think that that's a little bit different than a fad.
It's harder to kill a mood.
Yeah, exactly. The mood is more guttural. Fad is more emotional, all right? And mood is more intellectual. But it pays to fight the bullies. So, that's part of the theme tonight. We opened up with, I told you about, how in politics, you know, it's like anything. If you're raising a kid and the kid misbehaves, you know, let the kid keep misbehaving. What do you think the kid's going to do?
Keep misbehaving.
Yeah, that's right. And that's exactly what politicians do. Unfortunately, it's up to the politicians themselves to exact the price for that type of behavior.
Sure.
All right. The media is only limited in its capability. And it's extremely limited in its desire. All right, you basically only have talk radio, which holds both parties' feet to the fire. I'm so proud of that. And if you don't believe us, just look at our stance on the Seminole County tax and who's pushing.
Or emails.
Exactly.
Yeah, really.
We don't care who's right or wrong. We just want to call it who's right and who's wrong. All right, and let the chips fall where they may. So if you want to be on the right side of the argument, that's up to the politician. But it's up to the other side. That's why we are blessed with an adversarial form of government, for the other side to make the one side who misbehaves pay when they get the power and ability to do so. And I recommend it that the Republicans, should they retake the Senate, I would not impeach President Obama, but I certainly would put a special prosecutor on him. And you could just name the scandal. I mean, in the VA, we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. I believe that's the one that the administration is in particular afraid of, and I'll tell you why when we get to that. But I also want to tell you about something that happened this past week. I wanted to try to get to it in Nostradamus' segment. We didn't have time, so I'll bring it up now because I think it leads right into and blends right in with what we've been talking about. Have you ever heard of Feld Entertainment, F-E-L-D Entertainment?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of them. The people who bring you the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Well, they are now about $25 million richer.
Really?
Richer.
What'd they buy?
They didn't buy anything except maybe the truth.
Ooh.
Let me tell you what happened.
Mm.
They have been under scathing, withering criticism and attacks and allegations from the likes of the Humane Society of the United States and other animal rights groups, including the American Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Well, because of a settlement, an out-of-court settlement, and I'll tell you what the judge said about their lawsuit that they were pressing against Feld, they are now required to pay Feld Entertainment, a legal settlement which received, Feld Entertainment received $15.75 million from the Humane Society of the United States and another $9.3 million from the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Hmm. And why is that? Let me just read to you what they did. The activist groups aren't settling out of a spirit of generosity. They're paying up because Feld exposed their payments to a former circus employee who offered false testimony.
Wow.
And
perjury.
As Judge Emmett Sullivan of the U.S. Get this, of which district this is. As Judge Emmett Sullivan of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, one of the more liberal courts in the land, noted last year, and they now quote the article, quotes the judge, the plaintiffs, meaning the animal rights groups, the plaintiffs were unable to produce any credible evidence that any of them had standing to pursue their claims to begin with. He called their lawsuit, and I quote, they quote now him, a judge, the judge again, frivolous, unreasonable, and groundless, and ordered them to pay Feld's attorney's fees totaling the $25 million.
Wow. Perjury.
It pays to fight the bullying. If you do not fight the bullying will continue. Now, does that mean that PETA and all these groups are going to set back and not do what they've been doing? No, but maybe they'll think twice next time about paying a person who's lying.
That's good. That's good. It's good to hear.
And how often do we get false testimony? And then there is this in the Wall Street Journal talking about exposing the EPA. The EPA, the IG, the Inspector General of the EPA, is looking into the same behavior from the EPA. We talked about this, I think, about a year ago on our show, about a project in Alaska called Pebble Mining. All right, we don't presently have a major copper mine in this country open anymore, and the EPA is trying to close down mines, basic materials mines of all sorts, not just coal mines, but copper mines. You name a basic material, and they want lead. They want to close all these mines down. They want to close the lead processing guys, you know, so we can't make ammunition.
And the rationale?
All right. Let me just read from the Wall Street Journal, and this maybe goes to their rationale. The IG is looking to internal EPA documents that meaning the Wall Street Journal. The IG is looking into internal EPA documents that we've also obtained that show the agency officials were maneuvering to kill Pebble more than 5 years ago, and that EPA's main concern was building a facade of science and procedure to justify it. In other words, doing the same thing that the people, the animal rights people, were doing to Feld. All right? Now, Pebble has been fighting and trying to go through the permitting process. Basically, one of the things that the EPA is citing is the Clean Water Act. Well, the Pebble mine would not affect any of the rivers or streams up there. They're talking about a stream miles away from the plant. And the plant has these plans, you know, to protect, and everything the EPA has said that they want them to do, they said that they'll do. And the EPA keeps coming back and saying more and more and more. Pebble Mining should now file a lawsuit against the EPA and take them to task. This is how you deal with this type of bullying stuff. It will only be a half task to elect Republicans if they're just going to sit back and let the EPA continue to exist and do business as usual.
Here's a question.
And I have no indication that they wouldn't do just that.
Does anyone in this room know, has SeaWorld taken any kind of action against the people who made that documentary, Blackfin?
They have not, other than that they have produced their own documentary.
Right, yeah.
Now, it's my understanding that there were some misrepresentations in that. And SeaWorld should damn well fight them in
court. They should pull those out and air them out in open
and
court.
And sue them.
Right.
That's the way you do it.
Yeah.
All right? So the bully is only half the problem. The people who allow themselves to be bullied are the other half of the problem. And I'm here to tell you, if you stand up to the bully and you bloody their mouth, you can't just stand up to them, you got to bloody them up a little bit in the process. Then they begin to get the picture. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in terms of politics as we go on through the show. All right, but now, and having said all that, the president is, quote-unquote, according to McDonough, his chief of staff this morning, he is mad as hell about the VA scandal.
Oh, of course he is.
Oh, what is he not mad as hell about, right? Yeah. As long as it works for him politically. But
give him 90 days.
He's trying to get out in front of this because once people begin to put two and two together, the VA, you're not going to... You're not going to solve these problems by changing the director of the VA or something like that. This is indicative of the problem with big government.
Absolutely.
And this is what Obama represents. And I believe that the reason that he wants to be in front of this scandal more than any of the others is that this, more than any of the others, hits that point home. Because what is the scandal in the VA that we're talking about?
Sure.
What was it?
It was, basically men are dying as a result of waiting too long.
It was rationed healthcare.
Healthcare! Yeah. There you go. Exactly. People dying because of rationed healthcare. What is Obama all about?
Sure.
Rationing healthcare. They are afraid of this because they don't want guys like us out here saying, hey, you people out there watching this, you don't like what's happening to the veterans?
Where you'll be in 20 years. Maybe less.
I predict 10, if that long, because the money just ain't there. But I have a solution, and it's not one of my own. I actually heard it this morning as I was thinking of it myself. Anyway, we'll talk about that when we come back on to the other side of this here break.
Hello, welcome back this beautiful Sunday evening. This is the American Adversaries Live. I am Carl Jackson, sitting in studio with Christopher Hart, Nostradamus.
Hi.
We have Johnny Guns. We have Jeff Sinis. We have Lucas, and Lair is somewhere on his way, and we'll be in studio tonight. Chris was just discussing the VA scandal and why President Obama is so fearful, and justifiably so, that this scandal was exposed. So he's trying to get ahead of it. Chris?
Yeah, well, there's the obvious reasons why this can be really politically damaging, and that is because people have died, and there are some pretty angry victims and family members out there, and everybody can relate to this all around the country. I mean, if you have a veteran in your family, I'm sure you've heard of complaints about their treatment at the VA. And I believe this would be typical, from what Dr. Ken Vihek, who's a guest on our show during the week, oftentimes, he's a psychologist, team doctor for the Orlando Predators, worked at the VA, a veteran himself. And that is that the medical people, the medical staff, are really good. And they really care about what they're doing and care about their patients. But the bureaucratic staff is a whole nother animal. And they are not of the same mind as the caregivers. Dennis?
Yeah, my uncle was a VA member. In fact, he was one of the leaders of the fraternal organization of the Veterans Administration up in New York. And he would tell us all the time, these problems and these delays, there's nothing new about them. They were happening back in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, but right, they are much, much more accelerated now than they were back then. Now, to get care takes about 3 times longer today than it did when President Obama took office.
Why? Yeah. What's the difference?
Well, there's a lot of paperwork to go through.
Okay.
There's a lot of things you need to you know, hoops you need to jump through, forms you need to fill out.
In other words, there's a lot of bureaucracy.
Right.
That
there's
has to
layers
be satisfied.
And layers.
Right. And this is where it hits home in terms of the president's policies and liberal policies in general. And that is that this is what Obamacare is all about. This is, it's the same idea, the same principle. And that is that the government will step in and be the liaison, if you will, between us and our medical care providers. Well, I got news for the government. We don't need them as the liaison between us and our medical care providers.
And the doctor doesn't need it either.
And I think one of the problems with the VA is that it is a government bureaucracy. I believe that it should be, quote unquote, privatized, just like all health care insurance. We should move away from the Obamacare model and toward the private insurance model. And what I mean by that is that the people who retire from the military, instead of going to the VA clinic, they would be given a voucher or a stipend to buy a health care plan on the commercial market.
Right.
And they would enter into the same health care environment that we all exist in.
And if they want one that offers more bells and whistles, they can pay the extra difference.
They can do the same thing, but they would get a good policy stipend. And this is how I would have dealt with the uninsured. And this was McCain's idea, and the Republicans are still kicking it around. And I get a kick out of Democrats who say, yeah, the Republicans have now come up with an idea of giving poor people vouchers to buy insurance. They never would have done that without Obamacare. Well, you stupid idiots, all you have to do is go back to McCain's campaign. He was talking about giving people, I believe, vouchers up to $5,000 for a family.
Or you can go back to the Heritage Foundation that's been talking about it for over 20 years.
Yeah, exactly. You help people buy into the private market, which is the best provider of health care. That's why we have, literally today, the best health care in the world. People in other countries mimic us in order to have good health care in their countries.
Just do the numbers in your mind and think how much money we would save if, what did they say, 40 million people were uninsured? If each of them got a $5,000 voucher, that's $200 billion. How many trillions of dollars is Obamacare costing us right now?
It's going to be ridiculous. And not just that, but they would have better health care.
Amen.
And presumably, if they work their way up through the economic ladder, then their stipend, their voucher grows less. And then there's another lesson in that, too. I mean, we're teaching people not to want to do that.
Exactly.
We're incenting people to stay at the bottom end of the ladder so that they get their free Obamacare, so that they get their free Obama phone, so that they get their food stamps, so that they get their rent vouchers, so that they get their electricity stip. The whole incentive behind socialism is to keep you poor. And you might as well be stupid while you're there, because if you're educated and poor, you're really going to be miserable.
Give me a fish and I eat for a day. Teach me to fish and I fish for a lifetime.
If you're stupid and poor, you're miserable. But if you're smart and you're poor, you're really miserable.
We're teaching people not to fish.
All right.
It's like paying people not to grow crops.
Yeah, worse than not teaching them to fish, we're teaching them not to. And in all of that is tied up in this VA scandal. And so Obama's smart enough to know that, I believe. And he's smart enough to know that this one has the emotional impact that could really, you know, hurt, politically speaking.
What's he going to do about it, though? How's he going to address it?
He's going to tell everybody how he's concerned, and he's mad as hell.
Sure.
I mean, that's all. What else does he ever do about anything?
Yeah.
Right? Sure. Tell people how he's paying attention and he's mad?
Yeah,
I mean, look at the Ukraine. Look at Syria. Right? You get the same song and dance everywhere you turn with this guy. Carl.
Charles Krauthammer and Jonah Goldberg picked up a great trend that President Barack Obama has. Speaking of things being cyclical earlier, Chris.
Yeah.
But the trend is, so President Barack Obama gets outraged first, and we've all noticed this, but the way they worded it, those guys are wordsmiths, so they're just great at it. But the bottom line is, so Barack Obama gets mad at an issue. He got mad at the IRS scandal. He gets frustrated. Within maybe 30 days, things become a little questionable. Within 60 to 90 days, it's then a phony scandal. So this has been his trend with every single catastrophe that he's faced. I do believe this is different.
Yes.
I do believe this is huge, and you're absolutely right. It doesn't just cut to Obamacare. It cuts to what liberal fascists need in order to secure their utopia, and that's the healthcare system.
Exactly, and it cuts to the heart of people thinking that the government is there to take care of you.
Absolutely.
When they let people die. And as you said, this is different. And part of the reason why this is different, say, than Benghazi, because yes, people did die at Benghazi, but that was a faraway land, and in a lot of people's minds, they rationalize, well, it's a dangerous job to begin with.
It's a war zone.
And
it's
it was
war.
About a video and all this other stuff. None of that is going to come to play in this VA scandal. All right, and you got a decent man who's heading up the VA, and the guy's clueless. He's a 4-star general. He's a physician himself, and he's clueless. And it's not because the man is a moron. It's because the system itself is undefiable.
Yeah.
Okay, it will not be denied. The system will not be denied. It's like a huge monstrous animal, and it eats people up in the process. And the people who are doing the paper shuffling and allowing those people to wait for the care and die, in a way, they're victims too, because they're caught up in a world where they don't even belong there.
They're a little
because
cog
we
in a
don't
big
need
machine.
Yeah. We don't need that cog at all. It's an unnecessary piece of a machine. It's like you want to build a motor and you add all these redundant parts which tax the energy of the motor.
It's a Rube Goldberg device.
Exactly. It's got more than it needs and more than is useful.
Absolutely. And, you know, Chris, speaking of the system, too, this is why conservatives have to fight back. You know why it's so hard for conservatives, one of the reasons for conservatives to fight back and gain ground in this culture is simply because, imagine if you will, in your mind, there's a system, there's a big machine, there's a big government machine, a maze, maybe even, and we're all walking through this maze, and those walls are the system. They are government. They keep us bound. Unfortunately, the people walking alongside of the conservatives are the liberals, and they own those walls. So we just happen to be walking within those walls with the liberals. So until we fight back and bust down some of those walls, conservatism will never progress as far as it should in America.
That sounds adversarial, Carl.
Hey, that's how I roll.
We are all American adversaries. We are all American adversaries. And
so we are live.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries, ladies and gentlemen. We are, well, we're at the halfway point of this three-hour tour. We're at the buoy, and we're turning around, heading back to port. And, ladies and gentlemen, hope you have that phone handy, because it is time for our Who Said That contest.
That's right, folks. You know how we play this. We read a quote, and you simply call us at 407-774-8255 and tell us who said it. And if you're right, you will win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, who sponsors this contest. And don't forget, folks, we're up there every week, and it is the best Italian restaurant in all Central Florida. And Pasquale's going to be in with us here again real soon, and he's got something underneath his craw.
Man, he was fuming the other day.
Yeah. So, this is springtime. It's always a good time to have a party. Or if you have a business where you like to have meetings or something like that, or if you want to, schedule a graduation party or banquet, they have facilities for that at the restaurant 4 miles west of I-4 on State Road 436, which is right up the street from the station here. And that's where we go every week. You can make reservations there. You can call them for takeout orders, and their number there is 407 877-474-8080. You'll win that $20 gift card. You'll also win a American-made, American-proud T-shirt from My Liberty Threads, thanks to Scott Miller. And you can find My Liberty Threads at MyLibertyThreads.com. It's great American-made clothes, both men and women's T-shirts and shirts, and great patriotic slogans on them. You'll win the T-shirt, and you'll be able to take that to Cafe Positano and wear it while you eat dinner there with your $20 gift card. So T-shirt and gift card is what you'll get if you know the answer to this question here. Or excuse me, if you know who the author of this statement is. And I quote, "If this were a dictatorship, it would be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator." Wouldn't we all love to be, right? All right, let me just say this again. If you know who said it, call us at 407-774-8255. We'll even throw in a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics if you haven't gotten one of those yet. If this were a dictatorship, it would be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. I usually joke on this, but I kid you not. Barack Obama has said something pretty close to this. He literally has. I know that for a fact. I actually remember hearing the recording and being
Congress is always getting them away. Well, I can't stand that.
We'll go ahead and give a hint that it was not Barack Obama who said this.
That'd be too easy.
All right, that would be. But if you do know who said it, or if you just like to take a stab at it, if you get it, if you get the answer wrong, but nobody else gets it right, the first person who calls with an answer at all will be declared the winner, because we want to make sure somebody gets that T-shirt and gift card. If there were a dictatorship, it would be a heck of a lot easier, just so long as I'm the dictator. It's that last part that I think Barack left out. He has said it would be easier, you know, if you were a dictator.
I think that's assumed.
Yeah.
All right, but what's not assumed, folks, is anything around here, so please give us a call, 407-774-8255, and get in on the contest. And if you're listening, we want to once again thank you for listening and watching us on Ustream.tv or our Facebook page where we're linked up there. And thanks for listening on 1520 WBZW and or AM660TheAnswer.com. If we do go back, and I hope we will soon, the baseball game should be over pretty soon.
Top of the ninth, they're still losing.
All right, so we should get a little bit of airtime on AM660TheAnswer tonight, and we'll alert you when we do go there in case you are listening on on 1520 WBZW so you can go back. Where there is a brand new transmitter that has been installed for AM660TheAnswer, and it tripled the wattage of the station and really boosted the signal. So hopefully you will be able to receive us a lot more clearly as you listen to us on Sunday nights and during the week.
And it's final. They've lost 6-2 to the Angels.
All right. So when we do, there will be a portion of the show. I don't know how much, but there will be a portion of the show when we'll be on AM660 The Answer, and we will definitely let you know that. In the meantime, give us a call if you know who said if this were a dictatorship, it would be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator, if you think you know who said that, give us a call. In the meantime, I want to change the topic quickly, because a lot of the talk shows today were talking about the Karl Rove Hillary dust-up. In today's Orlando Sentinel was an article by Eugene Robinson, entitled "Dr. Rove Gives Clinton Large Dose of the GOP Treatment." And this gets back to kind of what I was talking about earlier, though. Karl Rove and Ryan Priebus kind of did this morning, but Karl Rove could just look him right in the face and say, "Sorry you don't like it, but this is the way you've been playing politics for a long time now." Right? How many times did we hear about how Bob Dole was incapable because he was an old man of being the President of the United States?
Or how Ronald Reagan lost it in his second term.
Or how John McCain, you know, had been tortured and therefore, you know, he was mentally unstable to be President of the United States. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I just want to throw this out there, because the Democrat response is, well, you know, should she run, she's going to produce her medical records. All presidential candidates have to produce their medical records. I would like the person who has yet to this day seen one William Jefferson Clinton's medical records, I would like you to raise your hand. They're not, okay? Because they have yet to be released. That's right. To this day, we have not seen Bill Clinton's medical records. So what makes anybody think we'll see Hillary Clinton's medical records?
We will, but they're still writing them, Chris. Come on.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, let's real quickly, let's go to the lines. I don't want to keep our callers waiting. They're so nice to be listening and calling in tonight. So let's go to the lines and see if our callers know who said, if this were a dictatorship, it would be a heck of a lot easier just so long as I'm the dictator. We'll go to John from Oak Hill first. John, thank you for calling and listening tonight. Who said?
Oh, you're welcome. That's got to be Barack Hussein Obama.
Well, as we said, you know, he said something very similar. He said the first part. He said, you know, if it were a dictatorship, he could do a lot more. Yeah,
The monitor blanked out. He just mumbled.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you, John, for listening. Have you gotten a bottle of Roxy Pacific yet?
Yeah, about 5-6 months ago. I just had to call and test you.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, man.
We appreciate you being out there. All right. He's right.
Have we amused
him? The teleprompter went down, and he couldn't read the rest of his own quote. All right. Let's go to Mary now from Altamont Springs, who thinks she knows who said it. Mary, thank you for calling, and thank you for listening.
Okay. George W. Bush.
It was W. How did you know that?
A lucky guess.
Wasn't it just a lucky guess? Well, you're absolutely right. You know, but in that should be a lesson for all those liberals out there to remember who you just wished, you know, that Barack Obama could be more powerful, that he could write more executive orders. What goes around comes around,
yeah,
folks.
If you allow the executive branch to go unchecked, guess what you're going to get in 2016?
You're going to get a C student who's the president. Yeah. All right, Mary, you're absolutely right. Congratulations, and thank you for listening. And by the way, can I ask you, how are you listening to us tonight?
By my phone.
Oh, okay, good. So you've downloaded the Smart app. Okay, great. Excellent.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. Thank you so very much. And we thank you very much for being out there. Make sure you give Jeff your shirt size so we make sure that we get you the proper female shirt size, okay?
Oh, okay, great.
Have you been to Cafe Positano?
Not in a long time.
Well, you need to get back down there, and please say hey to Pasquale when you go, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy it.
Okay, great.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate
you,
Mary.
You.
All right, so Mary from Altamont Springs took a stab at it, and she was right. See, sometimes, folks, it just pays to make a guess.
He would be about my least, I would have to go through 20 or 30 precedents to get to him for that quote.
But I believe he gave that quote in response to some questions from reporters, you know, why can't you do more type thing. It's because of we have been blessed with an adversarial form of government, which makes it hard for the federal government to do things, which is actually the way we should want it.
That darn House and Senate and the Supreme Court, they sometimes say things and do things I don't like.
All right. All right. I want to get back to Hillary's head. But before we do that, don't read anything more into that than just the obvious. But I want to get back to that. But before we do that, I tell you what. Let's give away a couple of free bottles of Roxy Pacific. Jeff, do you still have Mary on the line? Ask her if she's gotten a bottle of Roxy Pacifics yet, and if she has not, we'll give her a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. And regardless of whether Mary has gotten any or not, we'll take the next two callers at 407-774-8255 to give away some free bottles of Roxy Pacifics, which is great all-natural kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, good for what ails you. We're all the time hearing for new uses for this stuff, and it really is good for your skin, and every inch of your skin, in your mouth, under your, in your eyelids, the whole nine yards. And by the way, you can find out more about Roxy Pacifics at R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. And it is really great stuff. If you'd like a free bottle, call us at 407-774-8255. I just kind of want to get a little started, give it a little setup here, because we'll go ahead and take the break. When we come back, I want to talk about this incident that Hillary had and her concussion, because there's some other things going on in the news this week having to do with concussions. And everybody's been, you know, including some Republicans, have been trashing Karl Rove for having the audacity to bring this up. Well, perhaps it is more relevant, I should say, than anybody up to this point is giving it credit for. Carl,
I think it's the best work Karl Rove has done in a long time, quite frankly.
Since he got George Bush elected,
yeah.
That's for sure.
You could make a book out of it. Call it The Audacity of Rove. We are the American Adversaries. We're going to be back on the other side of the break. So keep that radio or smart device or internet right where it is. We'll be right back.
is heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz. If you can.
We are back with The American Adversaries, the Sunday night edition. And you know, I was just surmising at the break, asking Carl, if these black militants were called the Black Panthers, what would you call these gay activist militants? Would they be the Pink Panthers?
We are okay.
Do it with pizzazz.
There you go.
Ta-da.
All right. Okay. I want to direct us back to Hillary Clinton's head for a moment.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Her brain in particular. You know, it's interesting, first of all, that the Democrats, part of their storyline is the Republicans are afraid of Hillary. That's the gist of Eugene Robinson's article that appeared in today's Orlando Sentinel entitled "Dr. Rove Gives Clinton Large Dose of the GOP Treatment." Well, of course, you know, he never talks about the treatment that Democrats give Republicans, but that's for another day. And, they are giving her the treatment to a certain extent because she's out there playing, you know, she's playing the rounds. She's playing the game. She should expect this sort of thing. And that, in essence, is what Reince Priebus said this morning when he was pressed on this by David Gregory, who was back this morning on Meet the Press.
Has he gone through his psychological counseling yet?
I don't know, but I can tell NBC what his problem is with one four-letter word.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Dork.
Oh.
The guy's a dork. I'm sorry, but he's just a dork. I mean, he looks like one. He talks like one. That smirky grin of his, the whole nine yards. Anyway, to get away from the dork, I want to go to Reince Priebus, because what Reince Priebus said was basically, you know, this is politics. This is going to happen. You know, her health, her record or lack of it, all of these things are fair game. And I liked that.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say, did he actually say that?
I don't know that he used the word fair game, but that's what he was saying.
That was
his
attitude.
These things will be brought up, is what he said.
Good.
And if Democrats don't do it, Republicans will. And this is the problem. And some Democrats are beginning to realize this now with Hillary's, if you will, coronation as the nominee before one single vote has been cast, is that she won't go through the crucible of a primary, which will mean that the Republicans will have a lot more material to use when it gets to the general election. There is a good reason for primaries, and that is that the candidate that ends up winning is the one most eligible to be elected. And if she doesn't get the test, no one will really know that for sure.
Do you think if she runs...
An assumption is never enough in politics.
If she runs, do you think every Democrat is going to step back and let her, that no one's going to come out to oppose her?
Some will, but it will be a done deal. And if it isn't changed by the end of this year, I think she stands to put the Democrats in a real, real bad position. All right? Because I don't think she's going to run. Mm-hmm. And if she doesn't, the sooner she gets out, the better.
As soon as she lets the rest of her running mates, say people.
She is sucking up all the oxygen in the room right now. However, that may be part of it. I also have in my outline here that Hillary is the setup. What's one of the big arguments that the Democrats have been parading against the Republicans for several years now? The war on
women.
Okay. And if the Republicans drive Hillary out of the election, she gets to play the only role that has ever really benefited her. That of being victim, all right? She was victimized by her husband. She was victimized by the President of the United States and the people who turned their back on her because the last time was supposed to be her time. And now she's being victimized all over again. So she can go about her way and play the great role of the victim and in that sense help the Democratic Party because, once again, the Republicans will have been the villain in that story. All right, having said all of that, I want to get back to her brain injury because it is something that needs to be looked into. And that is according to not just me, but that's according to President Obama and the American Medical Association. And why do I say that? Because according to those people, concussions are serious injuries that can result in permanent damage and should be looked into. To the extent that maybe the NFL needs to do something about it, because those type injuries are incurred in the NFL, right? Okay? And if it is so serious that we need to put all this scrutiny on the NFL and these types of injuries, that the president is going to chair a conference on youth sports concussions on May 29th, why shouldn't it be important when Hillary Clinton suffered, and I quote now her very own husband, Bill, a quote-unquote terrible concussion that took her fully 6 months to recover from? All right. Now, I've had a concussion myself. I got it playing football. Okay. And it was because the other team I was playing, believe it or not, if you can look at me, guys, I was playing defensive line.
Wow. Why?
Because I was fast, quick, and could get the quarterback and could get in the backfield better than the bigger guys. And I played on a line with bigger guys. Well, the other team, I guess, could stomach being beat by the big guys, but it really got under their skin that this little guy was beating them left and right. And so what they did was they ran a play to get me. And they, what they did was they ran a sweep. I was playing right end. And they ran a sweep around my side, and the guy ran wide so he could get outside of me. Mm-hmm. And he kind of did, but I was cutting him off. I was in the process of running him down and cutting him off when the next thing I know, I'm on my hands and knees. And I am literally seeing tunnel vision and stars. I mean, this is no joke. You literally, when you get a concussion of a certain magnitude, that's what you experience. Mm. There's the unconsciousness for a period. I did not remember being hit or how I ended up on the ground. I don't even know if I landed flat on my face and had gotten up to my hands and knees. All I know is that the other guys on my team started helping me up, and I continued to try to play. And I was, you know, had headaches for a couple of days. But after about a week or so, there was no sign of the concussion. Now, here's a woman who it took 6 months to fully recover from a concussion, and we're being told that this is somehow dirty politics by Karl Rove to bring this up? Oh, no, it's not dirty politics. It is what politics is supposed to do. It's what it's supposed to do, which is why I think that all this with Hillary is really nothing more than a setup. Remember, politics, professional wrestling. The thing that you see that you think is real never really is, especially when it comes to liberals. All right? She is supposedly the foregone conclusion. Oh, no, she's not. She is a setup to something else. What the Democrats really want is another Barack Obama. What was Barack Obama before the campaign?
Community organizer.
He was a nobody, right? He was really nothing. I mean, in the Democratic circles, people knew who he was or something like that. No, right. The person to look to be a Democratic nominee is going to be somebody like Cory Booker or Deval Patrick or somebody that's lingering out there that we don't talk anything about, really. That will jump into it, and all of a sudden, they will be the fad. They will be the latest cup of tea.
Yeah.
And the setup will be, poor Hillary. Look what those mean old nasty Republicans did. Oh, my word. And there'll be a woman on the ticket, too. Okay, there'll be a woman vice presidential candidate on the ticket who will carry the banner forward of the victimhood.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, they see, the thing with Hillary,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, they need a woman or they need a Hispanic. They've had the black. They need a woman or they need a Hispanic, and I believe they know it. So I do believe that Hillary is taking air out of their sails, if you will, by standing this thing for God knows how long.
Well, we'll see. Let's go to Eva, who thinks about Hillary being a victim. Thank you, Eva, for listening. How are you listening to us tonight, Eva, if you don't mind me asking you?
On the phone.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm old school.
Well, good for you. Go ahead now with your comment.
Okay, here's what I think. She asked for what she's got. She's always wanted a bit of victim. She put up with...
Bill,
thank you. She put up with Bill... She knew what Bill was.
Oh,
that right there shows you she's not capable. If she got Bill and he turned out to be the way he was and she didn't know it, that alone should be her against her for being president.
Yeah, because going on right under her nose.
Well, she didn't care.
Yeah, well, that's just the point, is she did know what was going on.
Exactly. And another thing, that deal about Benghazi when she was...
Secretary of State.
Yeah, and she was talking to the Senate, and she said, "What difference does it matter? That shows a woman, and you do not need a woman to do that because she was flustered. That's why she did that outbreak. And if she was sick, nobody knows but her doctor. But one thing she showed, she can't take pressure.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people on the inside would disagree, but I believe that the way she takes pressure is she gets angry. And that was what was demonstrated by that with the response to the question by Senator Johnson, who's on our show. She was angry, and you're right, flustered, angry, and that's how she responded, and that's how she normally responds. And
yeah,
you're right.
That's somebody that
you're right.
That way in the White House.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and that honest answer, and it was an honest answer, that's how she saw this situation, came after several dozen I don't recall, I don't remembers.
Exactly.
Well, she had a concussion. She had a good reason to say she doesn't remember.
Well, in that case, I guess she did.
What I say is if she's supposedly a Goldwater girl in 64.
Yeah, right.
If that's a Goldwater girl, she better go straighten her brain. Her brain's been dead a long time.
All right. Thank you very much, Eva. We appreciate you being out there.
Uh-huh.
All right. Good night. Okay, folks, that's do it for 2 hours of our three-hour tour. When we come back, we got Sunny, our California girl. We still have some WTF news with Johnny Guns. We got Lara's closing comments. And your comments, too, if you'd like to make them.
Hillary Clinton commentary before a Senate subcommittee is not as funny as a sunny California girl knock-knock joke. More substantive, too. We'll be back.
Your hometown station, 1520 WVZW, Apopka, Altamont Springs, a service of Salem Communications, part of the
fell into darkness. A call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
All right, here we go, folks, on the third hour of our three-hour tour. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries on AM 660. The Answer, coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Remember, the best in Mercury Free dentistry comes from Dr. James E. Hardy, 407-678-3399. We are now back up on AM 660, The Answer, and we're still on 1520 WBZW. So if you've been listening there and you'd like to go down to AM 660, The Answer, where the signal is much stronger, especially because we have a brand new transmitter blasting us all the way up and down I-4 from Volusia County down there to Polk County and all points in between. So, as I said, you can go there now. I am Christopher Hart, and the studio is our executive producer, Nostra Dennis.
Hiya!
He's in the driver's seat, so to speak.
Woo-hoo.
We got Johnny Guns, who's getting his WTF stories all lined up for us.
Yes, sir.
Paris, Lucas Paris has us on the TV, the Ustream.tv, so you can watch what we're doing. Thank you, Lucas. And I was looking at your Pink Floyd t-shirt there, and it got me all whacked out. And Carl Jackson's here in the studio once again with us tonight. Carl?
Hello, everyone.
Well, thanks. And once again, it's glad to have you back. Missed you last Mother's Day.
Thank you.
And Jeff Sinis is on the bridge, so we're in good hands. And I see he has Jim Turner in there as well. So we are in really good hands as we cruise through the ether tonight and around on the internet. Before I get to our regular time with Sonny, I want to just sort of wrap up what we were talking about in the previous segment, because you know the Democrats are trying to say, oh, this should be off limits, you know, talking about Hillary Clinton's as Bill Clinton called it, terrible concussion. Let me just read that what the American Medical Association is saying, and this is talking about football players, but this could apply to anyone who's had a concussion. Players who have been diagnosed with concussions and those who have been playing for years had smaller hippocampuses, a brain structure critical to memory, compared to those who never played football or played fewer years, researchers found, and they could also tack onto that, or who have never had concussions. So the chances are that Hillary Clinton now has a smaller hippocampus than she used to have.
You can't tell from this angle.
I was going to say, many of her parts have gotten bigger over the years, but perhaps her hippocampus has gotten smaller. But I tell you, somebody that I know whose hippocampus has not gotten smaller, regardless of the bumps that she has taken, is, of course, Sunny. That would be Patricia Summerlin, our California gorgeous lady of wrestling girl. Hey, Patricia, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. Hi, that's really funny. Memory lasts. I'm probably 10 times that, actually. I just fake it till I make it, because God knows I've had enough bumps in my head. A lot of concussions, too many I can count. So, yeah. You know.
Did you ever get one that took you 6 months to recover from?
Gosh, no. Not that I know of. First of all, I love my sleep. When you get a concussion, you're not supposed to go to sleep for a while. I have to go to sleep. So 6 months, you know. I think I would know.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why I come in and I forget the knock-knock part.
All right. Well, speaking of knock-knocks, do you have one for us tonight?
I do, of course.
Okay.
You know, what would Sunny be without it?
All right. Let's have it.
Okay. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Me.
Me who?
No, seriously. It's just me. A knock-knock joke.
All right.
This is what we're talking about.
Like I said, more intelligent than a Hillary Clinton Senate testimony.
By the way, guys, I love Hillary Clinton.
Oh.
I hope she runs for president, and that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to get all these rocks thrown at me, but you know, I love her. We need a woman president. If there's any, I think she can do it.
Why don't you run then?
Why don't you run? You just got one of our listeners really hot and bothered when you said that, because she says we don't need a woman
president.
Just
one of our listeners got upset.
Well, no. Lair's mom, same way. She doesn't think a woman should be president.
And Colt are the same.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave that for another night. But all right. Now you've laid your position out, so we'll work on you.
Hey, how about those L.A. Kings, Sonny? Huh?
Yeah, what about?
To go there too. Ouch. Well, yeah, you know, Blackhawks weren't down today. They did lose, but they, however, took over the Quack Quack. So we won here locally with, you know, the Anaheim.
That's Ducks. What I'm talking about. You're basically your crosstown rivals. That was a great series.
Yeah. So we're kind of hoping Blackhawks, the next game there, of course, they're playing on the home turf in Chicago. I hope they beat them.
Well, these two teams have won four of the last five Stanley Cup, so it's going to be a great series.
Oh, yeah.
Is hockey...
Say, you know, Blackhawks deserve it. Hey, I mean, like I said, Kings have won. I'm not going to be selfish, but, you know, hey, I still love my Kings.
Is hockey really that popular in Southern California?
Oh, yeah. Along with all the sports, you know, as we're talking about the Clippers, you know, that's sad because they're out now.
Yeah, well, the Clippers, they were eliminated.
And the Angels beat up our Rays this afternoon.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
Well, now the Clippers, now that they are out of the playoffs, has that caused any of the furor over Donald Sterling's comments to die down in Los Angeles?
He's coming in strong. He's fighting. He's not giving up. He is not paying his toll in any which way. He's pretty much saying, F you to everything, and I'm going to be who I am, and this is who I am. And he's got his attorneys, and he's going all the way with this. This should be interesting. It's honestly going to be a waste of time, and I hope so. I hope he doesn't remain in. If he gets by with this, it's not going to be pretty. Clippers aren't going to play, so what team is he going to have?
Well, I think
he's going to own some air as far as that goes.
Yeah, but I think that the problem was of the NBA's own creation. The man did say some very despicable things. However, the NBA had no right to do what they did. There is nothing in their agreement with the team owners that allows the NBA to do that, to take the man's team's franchise away from him, even to fine him for what he did. If you look at the agreement that the NBA has with the team owners, the obligations that the team owners have are all business related. They have nothing to do with off-court behavior, in particular what the man did inside his own home. So although I can sympathize sympathize with people who are detested at what he said. What the NBA did, I believe, was way over the top.
Yeah. Sonny, this is Carl Jackson here. I'd like to ask you, do you hear anyone in or any rantings of people being frustrated, perhaps, and even though he said some horrible things, the fact that the man was taped illegally in his home, is there outrage out there based on that bit of information?
Well, there is some people that are for him. There's some people that are feeling bad.
Okay.
You know, number one, because he is in failing health, I think maybe they're sympathizing. But ever since he made the remarks about Magic Johnson, from everyone I spoke to, no.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he ought to be put in a burner and blown up.
Yeah.
Not happy.
And those remarks that he made about Magic Johnson were made in an interview with CNN, so there was no privacy issue there. However, I think Carl is onto something here. As I was sitting eating lunch today, I was going through the channels, and I came across this channel. It was called, I believe, Hollywood Society or Secret Societies.
Secret Societies.
Have you seen that show?
And, oh yes.
Yeah, and the Hollywood people, the thing that they cherish the most is their privacy. The things that they do out of the limelight, and they go to extraordinary lengths to keep their private lives separate from their public persona. Many of them because they feel they wouldn't get any more work at Hollywood if what they did in private came out in public. It would seem to me that they would be, if you will, sympathetic to Donald Sterling, because in fact this whole thing did arise from a private conversation that was illegally recorded.
That is true. You know, there's two ways of looking at it. Either he was just caught by this and it was a godsend that it did happen that way. However, with her doing this recording, I think she brought it to a light. Doesn't make her right or wrong, but it just brought him out in the public instead of him being that hidden racist.
Well, but evidently the NBA knew for a long time the way this guy was. And as a matter of fact,
that's true.
Yeah. It's exactly right. He had one of the profitable franchises in the NBA, so they put up with the man. But Elgin.
He spread his money. He spread his love, let's say.
Well, I believe.
California could be bought really easy in certain aspects. So.
Yeah, but now I saw an interview. It was on CNN. It was the night after Sterling did his, and it was with Magic Johnson. And Magic Johnson had to admit in the interview that the NBA and people knew about Sterling's, you know, feelings for a long time. And as a matter of fact, Magic Johnson basically apologized to Elgin Davis. Elgin Davis was a basketball player who was then the general manager of the Clippers for about 11 or 12 years. He got fired and he filed a lawsuit against Sterling, accusing him of racial discrimination. And Magic Johnson admitted that people knew about it, but didn't come to stand with Elgin Davis in that lawsuit, which Davis eventually lost to Sterling. So even Magic Johnson admitted that, you know, hey, that's just Don Sterling talking, you know, no big deal. The guy still writes the checks, so what's anybody worried about? And now they want to make a big deal out of it. It just seems to me, you know, and I've said this on the show before, it just reminds me of that, you know, quote by Jesus in the Bible, you know, let him who, you know, has not sinned cast the first stone. And, you know, yes, the man, Elgin Baylor, I'm sorry, did I say Elgin Davis? He was the UCF football player. Elgin Baylor was the basketball player. But anyway, the NBA now has themselves in a real mess, and I believe it's of their own making, and Donald Sterling is just a part of the overall story, and it really is of how the NBA does business and turns a blind eye to a lot of shady behavior, not only by some of the owners, but by the players, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is just going to make for another good movie in Hollywood. It's going to become a movie out of this.
Larry's over here nodding his head. You know, who's going to play Sterling, Larry? Who would play Sterling in this?
I'll do it.
Yeah, we
won't
go there.
Hey, Sonny.
Shirley, I love her. And I can't believe they put pictures of her in comparison. That's just wrong.
that
is wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't want to.
But speaking of a hot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to spend the whole time with you tonight talking about Donald Sterling. The firestorms that are going out there don't just concern him. There are real fires out there as well.
No, holy moly, you guys. It's been over the hundreds here. I don't know if you've watched the news.
In Los Angeles?
Yeah. California fire crews subdued San Diego fires, and a man was arrested for arson in California.
I was going to ask you. How are these fires getting started? Because, you know, they don't just spark off by themselves. Even in the dry tinder box that California now is, evidently the whole state, according to USA Today, is in a state of drought for the first time, quote unquote, this century.
What?
Which is a whole, 14 years old, as it, depending on how you look at it, but quote-unquote this century. Yeah, but nonetheless, California is in a dry state out there.
Now,
the Farmer's Almanac says that predicts that Southern California will get an unusual amount of rain this summer. So we shall have to see.
I think our Farmer's Almanac might be a little bit off. It could be like,
you'd be
surprised. The end of the world. Well, I sure hope so, because I'm about ready to go do a rain dance myself. my building, just to get some rain.
Now that,
it's been scrushing here. It's that not fun.
That I would like to see, a rain dance by Sonny. But,
yes, right?
But exactly. Yeah, but evidently the worst part of the drought actually is between Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that where...
You know, we got those faults.
And isn't that where most of the farming in California is done too?
Yes, that is true. I think farming's up and down here in California. I mean, you know, thank God. But you know what they're saying is, due to this drought, the ground is so dry that it's making the San Andreas Fault could be a possible movement for a good sized earthquake, which is not good. That's my fear, is the earthquake. Forget the, you know, the heat we can take, but the heat and an earthquake falling in, that's just like you're going to hell.
Well, it's because of that those liberals that Californians have been elected out there.
No, Sonny, you need to strap a big board across your back. I mean, that's the best way to survive, you know, falling into a crack in the ground. Gosh.
Yeah, it's horrible. But, you know, it's really sad for these fires. Camp Pendleton, our Marines,
all
of them had to be evacuated. Oh, yeah, this Alberto Serrato, 57 years old, is pleading not guilty after starting the fires, after he's, you know, been, you know, pretty much arrested, and he's facing 7 years if he is convicted.
That's it.
But 105 acres, you know, went up that one. And then there was a couple other teenagers, to my understanding, that were also arrested that were trying to start a couple other more fires.
Yeah.
There's so many. At least 10 blazes broke out in San Diego County, over 10,000 acres burned, killing one person only, but a lot of damage, $20 million in damage.
Yeah.
8 houses, 18 unit condos, 2 businesses went up. I mean, it's just horrific. These 2 teens were arrested late Thursday after allegedly trying to start at least 2 brush fires in Escondido.
Yeah, we have the same thing here. When we get real dry conditions, you get a lot of fools out there actually starting these fires. And then you get fires here in Florida that are started by lightning strikes and things like that. But, yeah, one reason why there has been a death, and we have lost Sunny, so we will get her back real quick if we can. But one reason is because these are resulting in fire storms, which is when the fire moves at it can move at 75, 80, 100 miles across the land.
Did you see the video in California of the fire tornadoes?
Yeah.
That was incredible. Yes. I'd never seen such a thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's the fire becomes so hot it begins to suck in oxygen and you get a swirling. Firestorms are very fascinating because they move extremely fast and they're very strong because they can blow over trees. The storm itself will, the wind from the firestorm will blow the trees down in front of it and the fire will come along and consume it. All right, we got Sonny back. Sonny, we just have a couple of minutes left in this segment, and if you could, there's been this sort of ongoing saga this week that it appears that it's now been resolved, but it had to do with one of my, you know, favorite disc jockeys as I was growing up, Casey Kasem, who I had asked Nostradamus not long ago, was he even still around?
He's around. He's just missing. No one knows where he is.
Well,
we do now.
He was one of my faves too, guys, but yeah, he was found in Washington
State.
Filed the missing persons report, Gene Kasem apparently was taking him and put him on an Indian. Speaking of rain dance and Indian reservations, I guess that's where she was taking him. At
well, now why? You know, why? What was going? I mean, is this a dispute between his wife and his children over his estate?
Again, it's all about money. They're saying she wants the money. 59-year-old. She's 59 now, Gene Kasem. That she's wanting everything, and the girls aren't really fighting with her on it. They're saying, "Here, take my dad's house. We just want his well-being. We want my father. We want him in our care. We want conservatorship. We want to make sure his health is okay." Just like I understand that, because that's what I'm going through with my mother. It's so, and he's got, I understand, a different type of dementia.
Yeah, it's. I saw that. And I forget the name of it, but evidently
he's got Parkinson's too.
Well, no, it's a different type of dementia that mimics both Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, and it was hard for them to diagnose. But nonetheless, the man needs 24-hour a day care.
And I believe she was looking for some types of holistic treatments that were just way off the beaten path.
And she was looking for Indian reservation.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Give him a little bit.
They might have found rain up there, but that was about it. They could have produced that for him.
Give him a little bit of peyote. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but he is found safe and sound, and the rest is to follow. They're going through now to battle it out. I guess my understanding. You know,
the daughter
conservatorship.
Yeah, the daughter got conservatorship and all treatment options. Returned over to her.
Yeah, but but now she needs to get custody in order to exercise that, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it'll be interesting, but I'm glad he's safe. And, you know, I wish him well. And it's hard. It's so hard in that to watch someone. And I understand he has feeding tubes and he can barely speak.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a tough thing. And he's 82. He's a little bit younger than my mom. And I feel for them. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, you give your mom a big hug for us, will you?
Sure will, guys. You know it. I'm going to go hop on my surfboard now and hit the waves, you know.
Go, girl.
Bring it with you to Florida.
We have a little bit of coolness, and I'm loving it.
Send us a picture.
Oh, yeah. You know it.
All right. Thank you, Sunny. We appreciate it.
All right.
Great work. We'll talk to you next week. That, of course, is Sunny, our California gorgeous lady of wrestling. And she comes to us live, that's right, from Los Angeles. What do you call it? Francifornia?
Califrancia.
Califrancia, that's right. We'll be right back.
That's right. Lair Adams is back in the studio, and I paid my dues. I brought the guys a garlic cheese pizza, and isn't it awesome? From, of course,
Cafe Positano.
Great, Lair.
It's the best. I saw Pasquale there. He was tied up in business and all that, but they make the best pizza anywhere. And for your skin, I got to tell you, there's nothing better you can do for your skin than order a bottle of Roxy Pacifics. They have several different sizes, but be honest with you, go ahead and order the big size. Now, Luann that deals with Roxy, she sends me these wonderful emails, and she said today, things that go together, soup and sandwich, hammer and nails, mamas and babies, kelp water and skin, and she's so right. And because, folks, any skin problems you have, from bug bites, jellyfish stings, we had Dr. Ken on here, who's a diabetic skin problems.
Acne.
I have acne, that's right. I don't want to say who, but a relation of mine, she's using acne on her young skin. And it's working quite well for her. And again, people that have serious problems due to cancer and possibly radiation treatments, things like that, Roxy has worked wonderfully.
The burning that results from the radiation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it also reduces the irritation.
Yeah.
That's what it does. And it's all natural, folks. It's just kelp water. Now, a couple of people here locally, Beryl in Ocoee, Maria in Lake Mary, Dolly in Orlando, Siglund in Orlando, Diana Popka, Chuck in Longwood, Pamela in Castleberry, Greg in Sefford, Tim in Castleberry. They all are Roxy Pacific's users, and they all swear by it. You will, too. The phone number is 619-654-4829. Write that down right now. 619-654-4829, RoxyPacifics.net.
All right, folks, we'll be right back with some WTF news from Johnny Guns after we eat some great pizza. Oh. All right, and we are chowing down on some really good pizza. And if you're watching on Ustream.tv, you can see what we're talking about. And it's really great stuff from Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant all Central Florida. And, of course, we want to thank Pasquale Barbara for being not just a sponsor, but a sponsor for over 3 years now. I tell you, we are so fortunate to have him. Okay, folks, it is now.
And a friend.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
A dear friend. And a great American.
A great American. All right, speaking of great Americans, it is time now for WTF News with that great American, Johnny Gunn.
I thought you were talking about Carl Jackson there, the great American. The only bad thing, the only bad timing was I had to wolf down that pizza. Really didn't get to savor
that,
it.
That pizza.
Pizza. Combo mambo. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a little WTF news. Why do we call it WTF news? Because we do all our research on
Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays.
All right. Like this story of Kincaid High School in Houston quarterback JT Granato, who committed to Rice University because of a recruitment letter not sent to him, but sent to another member of his family. JT Granato was impressed by a letter that co-offensive coordinator Billy Lynch sent to Kitty Granato, the Granato's family cat.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought it was the guy's wife. Or
Here's what Lynch had to say to Granato in his letter. As you know, we're trying to convince JT Rice is the place for him. I know you'd like to keep him close so he can feed you and change the litter box. Please help us to get him to choose Rice. Paw me if you have any questions. Granato was also receiving interest from Houston, Maryland, Indiana, Kansas, Wake Forest, and Southern Miss, but it turns out Rice University had the perfect approach. Now, you've probably heard about this cat, the California cat that saved the young owner during a dog attack.
Oh, I saw that video.
That was awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah. That was a great video.
Became an internet star in the process.
Brave cat. Yeah. Cowardly adult.
Well, now, that cat is going to be starring in a different role.
Oh?
As a minor league baseball pitcher. Yes. Tara, the famous feline, will toss out the first pitch at the Bakersfield Blaze game on May 20th.
Oh, yeah.
The team, which is a Class A affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds, contacted the family about the possibility of Tara taking the mound alongside the four-year-old boy Jeremy that she rescued. They said yes, and the whole family, Tara included, will take the mound for the ceremonial first pitch when the Blaze take on the Lancaster Jethawks. To get people to the game, they're going to offer half-price tickets to any fan that brings unused animal toys or unopened animal food to the game. The food and the toys will be given to the local charity, local animal charity or shelter. The Blaze are a little unclear exactly how Tara's going to get the ball to home plate.
You're thinking,
is she going to throw a slider, or maybe she's going to throw a fastball?
Knuckleball.
Or is she going to throw up a hairball?
Well, she already has one save, so they shouldn't have to worry.
Right.
Oh. By the way, did you see the video?
Yes.
Well, the cat was heroic, but did you see what happened when the woman ran in to grab the child?
No.
She starts to pick the kid up. Then she turns around and runs away and leaves the kid there. And the kid jumps up and runs after her. I'm going, it reminded me of George Costanza.
It was a little cat, and it was a relatively small dog, but the dog outweighed the cat.
Oh, yeah, it was a big dog. Yeah. It was a big dog. It could have been a bit pit bull size.
That cat swallowed the cat.
Tore in there, and then that dog ran. It was anyway, go ahead.
See,
Josh,
what happens when you bully a bully? You bloody his nose, he runs away.
He runs the other way. Scaredy dog.
As Eisenhower said, it ain't the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the what?
Fighting the dog.
There you go.
All right, we're going to end up.
Let the dogs out.
We're going to end up with, I guess you could say, maybe a big dog.
All right.
With the latest Godzilla film hitting theaters in New York City, city officials were asked if New York could handle a real attack from the 350-foot tall sea creature. And I can only hope that city officials didn't fall for this obvious publicity stunt. Office of Emergency Management Commissioner Joseph Bruno told the Daily News, looking at this, we'd be thinking, what would a Godzilla attack do? The Office of Emergency Management reviewed the damage that Godzilla would cause and decided that the city had learned enough from dealing with 9/11 and Hurricanes Irene and Sandy to handle the gigantic green lizard. Said Bruno, quote, clearly it would cause fire, explosions, casualties, damage, debris, bridges and tunnels being out, roads being out, power issues, and some slime. Those are issues that we do deal with, except for the slime. But you know who New York City calls to deal with issues of slime. That's right. Certain parts of the city would likely have to be evacuated so that jets and fighter planes, possibly from the U.S. Air Force, could be scrambled to help fight the gigantic monster. Said Bruno, in the event of a Godzilla attack, we'd be looking at area evacuations. He's a big guy, but he's not going to overtake the entire city. So we would try to determine what sectors of the city had to be moved. We would move people to a hub area and try to move them, for example, to the Bronx, which is less likely to be impacted because everyone knows that Godzilla is a Yankee fan.
Well, would it be so bad if he ate the Bronx?
By the way, did anybody think of when Godzilla evacuates, what that might cause?
Thanks, right. Chris, for that image.
He's a big lizard, right? I mean, de Blasio doesn't want the horses parading around.
Lair was asking if I'd seen the movie. I really don't want to see the movie because the destruction of New York City would just remind me of before Giuliani got there. You know? Right, I don't want to see that again.
I want to see it. I'm a Godzilla fan. Any of you guys?
I might see it out of curiosity. All right.
I got a couple of little WTFs for you here, too. This was in Friday's Orlando Sentinel, and this has to do with Jupiter and the Great Red Spot. Hubble shows Jupiter's Great Red Spot shrinks. Jupiter's most distinctive feature, a giant red spot bigger than the Earth, is shrinking, images from the Hubble Space Telescope released Thursday showed. The so-called Great Red Spot is a violent storm which in the late 1800s was estimated to be about 25,000 miles in diameter. New pictures show the spot measures just under 10,250 miles in diameter. It also appears more circular in shape. The Obama White House said that it is, of course, caused by climate change.
Sure.
I thought it was because Jupiter is using Roxy Pacifics.
No. Wait a minute. No, that's man-caused climate change, Chris.
Sure. You caught it. I was going to say, of course it's climate change. But is it caused by men or human beings? I doubt it. And
No. All our evil that we have do here, it goes off in space
like
and it
radiation.
Gathers around other planets.
Right. All right. And this one, too. Now, I had seen this article. This was in Wednesday's Orlando Sentinel. And it's entitled Deportations Balancing Act. And I was reading it, and I was getting a smirk because this is when I said last year, or back when President Obama, the campaign was going on between him and Romney, and I was saying Romney was going to win, and Lair kept saying, no, Obama's going to win. And I said, well, even if Obama wins, you know, the Democrats are going to turn out to be his biggest problem. And that's what this article's about. But I didn't read the caption under the picture that I'm showing now on our camera. Until a couple of days later, I was reading the op-ed page on the Friday Sentinel, and someone had written in and made this and called my attention to the caption underneath the picture. Let me read this, and let me see if you catch what the reader caught that day. He says, and this is the caption under the picture, which shows Barack Obama sitting in a chair talking to people about immigration reform. Here's the caption under the picture. See if you catch what's wrong here. President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama met last fall with protesters fasting for immigration reform. Obama has said he would focus deportation policy on criminals, not law-abiding immigrants living in the U.S. illegally.
Wow. Oh. Wait, he said law-abiding and illegally in the same sentence?
Not really? Law-abiding immigrants living in the U.S. illegally.
Law-abiding.
That's the caption under the picture, anyway. So great catch to that other Sentinel reader, now, and I should have gotten his name, but great catch.
I wonder if that's the Sentinel or if that's whoever the supplier of the news piece.
The article, Dateline Washington, Brian Bennett and Christy Parsons, Tribune Washington
Bureau. There you go.
All right, no, nonetheless.
Just because they're breaking the law doesn't make them illegal.
Law-abiding immigrants living in the U.S. illegally. Okay, okay, all right. Talk about newspeak, right, Lair? And this final one here, this came from the Wall Street Journal on Friday. It, in the title is, Organic Farming is Not Sustainable. Hmm. Who would have known? But organic farming causes more, quote-unquote, pollution than non-organic farming.
No.
Not only that, but there's no way in the world that the world could be fed by organic farming. Organic farming is for elite rich people. Have you ever been to Whole Foods? Have you ever been to Publix?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go to Publix.
Go to the Greenwise section.
There it is. Yep. And see if
but right, Whole Foods is even worse.
That's right. But then the whole benefit that you think that you're doing because you're saving the planet for buying and eating that food, you're not. You're doing worse damage to the environment than Monsanto.
Yeah, it's a feel-good industry. Scientists have...
That's all liberalism is.
You guys are just trying to make us feel bad.
Is nothing but feel-good BS. It's empty calories. It's like eating Rice Krispies and trying to get strong. Just can't do it. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to The American Adversaries, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned because we've got a special way we're going to close the show tonight with a great hymn called Jesus is on the Main Line. But first, we always start our final segment in a very special way, and that's with Lair Adams and his closing comments.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Tonight, I'd really like to get to the tall and short of the matter. To achieve new heights in the discussion of stature without the usual shortcomings. To find out if the view from above really is better than the view from below. Yes, I'm leaning to something using as many puns as an Austin Powers movie. I know you and the dentist have the same idea. Just spit it out. So here goes. Are you happy with how tall you are? Most men out there will shout out aloud, heck no, unless they're at least 6'5 or 6'6. Personally, I'm 5'10, and I'd love to be that tall. Even though I know the restrictions the tallies face, such as buying clothes, maneuvering through normal world, hitting your head, buying a car that fits, but there's that lingering reminder, they get all the chicks. Mm-hmm. Most women flock to tall guys like sharks are attracted to surfers. Let's face it, most but not all bullies are tall and or big. And as Eli Wallach says in the great film The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, I like it when big men fall down. They make a lot of noise. So why am I grousing about height-advantaged people? Well, I'm not really. It's just that I heard the results of a recent study that reveals the longest living men, on average, are 5'3" tall. This completely shattered my confidence in the laws of logic. I thought that my being just above average height would put me in the class of longest living potential. But no, shorter guys win in the long run. Now, I knew really tall people had shorter lifespans than the average. You never see really tall, really old people in nursing homes. It has something to do with the human heart being about the same for all adults. That's why when transplanting, whether male or female, tall or short, all hearts seem to fit under the hood. Recently, an 11-year-old's parents won a court case to allow an adult's heart to be transplanted into their desperately ill daughter. Doctors did the deed, and it seems to work fine. The problem is, to ask a heart the size that works great in a short man or woman to power for a lifetime a person 2, 3, or maybe 4 times their size, that's really stressing the part. And now I'm wondering why 5'3" surpasses the average. Then I remember, 5'9" is the average today. In the last 200 years, we have vastly increased food availability and enrichment. A few centuries ago, 5'3" for a man was the average. So I think the answer is, be happy with how tall you are and how tall you aren't. It's a good bad thing. And I hope your week is much more good than bad.
All right. Great job, Lair. Yeah, I would just simply add, it doesn't take a big body to be a big person.
You know, though, tall people usually get better jobs, quicker promotions, and the taller candidate usually wins a presidential election.
Ooh, that's why President Obama's president. Because he's kind of tall, huh?
About the same height as George Bush, maybe an inch taller.
All right, okay, so...
Way taller than John McCain.
All right, that's just going to about just wrap it up for tonight, though. But before we get out of here, there is something going on in town baseball-wise. And Nostra Dennis is going to pull out the paperwork here. We're trying to help out. It's the Collegiate League. They play when the college teams, you know, wrap up their season. These are free agent collegiate players who are trying to get into pro ball. And here's a way that we can help.
Yes, thank you very much to Aubrey Kahn for giving us this information. It is called the Summer Collegiate Baseball League. The team specifically is the Sanford River Rats. They play up at historic Sanford Memorial Stadium, where my friend Tim plays senior league wooden bat baseball. And these are kids. They're college-age kids. Some of them are high school graduates who aren't in college yet. Others are college kids playing for their team, but playing some extra games over the summer to hone their skills. What they're looking for are families to act as foster parents for these kids. The dates are from May 28th to August 4th. It's about a month, a little longer than a month. Most of the kids have transportation to and from the games, but they do need accommodation. If you have an extra room, well, the deal is you're going to get free admission to all the games all summer long, and it is a great night out. This is really good baseball being played up there. If you are interested, if you have an extra room, you want to maybe house a kid or two or three, or maybe the whole infield. You don't know. Ken Kelly is the guy you need to call. His number is 224-623-3509. That's Ken Kelly, 224-623-3509. And be a foster parent to a couple of these kids for the summer league.
And we'll put that information up on our Facebook page.
Yeah, sure will.
Now, my only question, Dennis, I have to question that name, the River Rats. That's kind of like the shiny cockroaches or the, you know.
Well, they're the
scaly
River Rats.
Skinks.
And they're a decent team, too.
Now, that's discriminatory towards those poor little vermin.
That's right. I'm sorry. I'm rodent impaired.
All right. Okay, once again, we'll put that information on our Facebook page. And they don't need, I mean, they basically just need a place to sleep.
Right. You don't need to feel the obligation to feed them.
No.
If you do, that's wonderful. You know, however much you want to go over what you need to do, that's nice. But these kids just are looking for a place to play, a place to sleep while they play. There's six teams in the league. They're all over the place from DeLand down to Kissimmee. The team in Sanford is the one that's looking for
one more time on the phone number. And once again, this will be on our Facebook page.
Ken Kelly at the Sanford River Rats. His cell is 224-623-3509, 224-623-3509, and tell him you heard us on the American Adversaries talking about it.
That's right. Okay, that's going to about wrap it up for tonight, folks. But don't forget, John Butler Book, he's got a great show. He's coming up next up the dial at 950 WTLN. He'll be live from 8 to 9. And if you're like me, you'll listen to him for the next hour and then come back down the dial to AM 660 The Answer to listen to Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, where, of course, he's live from 8 to 11 p.m. tonight. John does a great show, and he takes great calls, and he spends his time with the callers, so you know you won't get short shrift on John Butler Book Show. And the man's brilliant and a great wordsmith. And don't forget another brilliant man and great wordsmith, our very own Carl Jackson, does a great show every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 on AM 660 The Answer. And catch his blogs. Where can they read your blogs at, Carl?
Thank you. TheConservativePundit.net, BlackCommunityNews.com, and pretty shortly, I just got an email from WorldNet Daily, so I will be a guest blogger on their site occasionally. So I'll let you know when those hit.
All right. Great work there, Carl Jackson. And don't forget Marshall Polston, the kid. I call him around here, but he's everything but a kid. And by the way, congratulations to Marshall, who just graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. He is he's here every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. You got Fritz Seide, who's live at 1 o'clock. You got the Armed Room live at 3 o'clock. Great radio all day long here on Saturday at AM 660 The Answer. And don't forget to catch us here every Sunday live from 5 to 8. And if the Rays are playing, you'll find us up the dial on Sundays at 1520 WBZW. And, of course, Larry and I will be back tomorrow night on our Drive Time show with, hopefully we'll have Abe Katzman on, and we're also going to give it our last ditch blitz push against this Seminole County sales tax. Election day is Tuesday. By Tuesday night, we're going to know if it's a done deal or not. So you'll definitely want to catch that.
All right, the American Adversaries are going to wind up here with, I believe, is this a hymn that's coming up?
Yeah, we're going to play a little music here. Give us a couple of minutes to get out of the way so John can come on in here and get set up for his show. And I think maybe we'll do this maybe every week because it's a cool little tune here. And I found this on an album called Honkin' on Bobo, and Bobo being an harmonica. Honkin' on Bobo by Aerosmith does Jesus is on the Main Line.
Harmonica.
Hometown Station, 1520 WPCW, Apopka, Altamont Springs, a service of Salem Communications, part of the Wall.